When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you've missed any of my talk radio breakfast show, don't worry. We've put some of the punchiest bits of this morning's show into a bite-sized podcast, the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. Enjoy.
Talk radio. Julia Hartley Brewer at breakfast on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. This is Talk Radio Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Dave Chawner's comedian. He's still joining me. We'll get his thoughts on my next interviewee in just a few moments. He is, of course, Business Minister Nadeem Sahawi, who joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. Now, I know we're going to be talking about some of the investment coming from the government to help heritage organisations, but I must talk to you first about the announcement we are expecting later today, and that is an announcement of a new sort of local lockdown furlough scheme from the Chancellor, paying workers two-thirds of their wages if they are forced to close businesses in local areas due to a virus infection increasing. Is that as far as it's going to go? And if so, is that going to be enough to actually save an awful lot of businesses and an awful lot of jobs?
Well, throughout this crisis, I think the Chancellor and the Prime Minister and the whole government has demonstrated our priority to wrap our arms around the economy, around jobs, with furlough, then extending furlough, making it more flexible, with bounce back loans. So furlough is at 50 billion now, bounce back loans about 38 billion. In total, about 190 billion has gone into the economy to protect jobs. The Chancellor will outline later today any further help for businesses in lockdown areas. And I'm not going to preempt him on your programme, however much you would love me to do so, Julia, I'm sure.
I'm sure I won't be able to tempt you either. This is an ongoing issue, though, with the government, isn't it? That we have rumours about local lockdowns or new measures to come in. We're not quite sure where, we're not quite sure what. Very unnerving, very unsettling, very difficult for businesses to plan. You know, if you're opening, you have a restaurant or a cafe, a bar or a pub in large swathes of the country, you don't know whether you need to be ordering food and drink or whether you're not. A lot of that, obviously, perishable. You don't know whether to put your staff on the rota for next week or not. No idea what sort of help you're going to get. No idea whether you're going to need that help. It all comes out in drips and drabs, in leaks, and then we get the full proper announcement, usually in the wrong order. This is the bad stuff, and then we don't hear about the good news that can help people. Do you think an awful lot of the issues the government has got right now, and we know that the polls are showing less and less support for the government, is actually, you know, it's not necessarily the policy so much as the poor communication of that policy?
Well, look, I agree with you when you say leaks are really damaging and corrosive and wrong. It is a fast-moving situation. I think people appreciate that. If, you know, last Thursday, infections were at just shy of 7,000. Yesterday, Thursday, they are at 17,000. So, for your listeners, I just wanted to demonstrate the sort of urgency of the situation, which is why we're having to take the measures we're taking, in consultation with local leaders and, of course, public health, local teams. But I think the Chancellor has demonstrated throughout this crisis that he's prepared to do, you know, everything that he can do to protect jobs, to protect the hospitality sector. The hospitality sector, who I speak to on a regular basis, as many of the ministers in the business department do, were very appreciative of the VAT cut, of the business rates, of the grants from local government, of course, bounce back loans, as well as other help that we have delivered already, including in some of the lockdown areas, where if you're closed down for 3 weeks, you get £1,500. He went further with the winter plan in terms of help for jobs, with the scheme that the government will effectively pay part of the 1/3 of the salary if people are kept on part-time because of the restrictions, you know, on table service and so on. And then, of course, if you keep people on till the end of January, you get the bonus as well, £1,000 per individual you keep on. Yeah, so a lot of help. But we, you know, we continue to monitor every intervention. I don't think that, you know, you would criticise us for that. But it is a fast-moving situation. And as I say, the Chancellor will make a statement on what we will do to what we are going to do to help areas if they do need further
I hate to tell you, I would criticise you for some of those interventions. I worry, and a lot of people, including a lot of medical experts around the world, are worrying that actually a lot of this is about being seen to do something rather than doing what will actually help to suppress the virus and being a bit more perhaps proportionate with the reaction. We've spoken to a number of leaders of local areas today. I mean, Dan Jarvis from Sheffield and leader of Leeds City Council, Judith Blake, and we've spoken to numerous others, Andy Burnham from Manchester and Rotherham as well from Liverpool. And to a man and a woman, they've said the same thing for weeks now. Please, can you let us make local decisions? Please give us the local powers to tackle this as best we can. Why is the government insisting on this top-down, over-centralised approach?
Well, with respect, I don't recognise that. I sit on the Local Action Committee goal where we look at the data on a daily basis. The people who present the data, by the way, are the local public health teams who know their area best, better than anyone. We try and make sure we absolutely communicate all of that work with the local political leadership, whether it's Andy Burnham or Dan Jarvis or Steve Rotherham or others as well. We will endeavour to continue to do that to the best of our abilities. All I would ask everyone to do is to set political differences aside. It was, you know, heartbreaking to hear Keir Starmer's front benchers talk about, you know, don't let the good crisis go to waste. This is not the time to make political point scoring on this. So let's work together to make sure we suppress the virus. As I said to you, you know, the worst of all worlds, and you will understand this, Julia, exponential growth can very quickly ramp up. And once it gets out of control, it's very hard to bring it back to control, which is why we're taking this local strategy. The WHO has commended us on our local strategy. It's the right thing to do, and we've got to continue to work together. These are difficult times, Julia. There are no sort of easy answers to any of this. You know, I do this with a heavy heart as the business and industry minister when I'm, you know, having to talk to the hospitality industry or the aviation industry as to why we're having to make these decisions.
OK, well, let's also just talk finally. I know you need to go. We get to the top of the hour, but heritage organisations across the country are set to receive a financial boost from the government out of a £1.57 billion culture recovery fund to help them through. 445 organisations are going to share £103 million to keep open. Again, sounds like big sums of money, but sounds, you know, stretched over so many different organisations. Is this going to be enough to keep a lot of our major sort of cultural icons and heritage open?
Well, this is the first tranche of the £1.57 billion that we're putting in, and it's going to places like Gloucester Cathedral, where the spires were used in Harry Potter, and Highclere Castle, you know, Downton Abbey, and of course to the River and Canal Trust, which Stratford-on-Avon clearly is important to us. It's important that we make sure these, you know, cultural icons, this cultural heart of our country, is both maintained, allowed to survive this COVID challenge, but also can also do some essential repairs as well. And so this is the first tranche that we're announcing today of that £1.57 billion that we're putting in.
Are we supposed to be protecting and celebrating our heritage? I thought we were all supposed to be sort of whipping ourselves, self-flagellating over our racist and slavery past. Are we trying to maintain our culture anymore?
Absolutely, we're trying to maintain our culture. And we should be very proud of our culture. My parents were immigrants to these lands in 1978. I can tell you that British values and British culture is a huge export worldwide, including, of course, the greatest of them all, William Shakespeare.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
We know we've spoken many times to Andy Burnham, the mayor of the Greater Manchester, and he said, you know, repeatedly he's had meetings, and a lot of this local lockdown measures simply haven't been discussed, haven't been mentioned. There's been a lot of criticism from many of our guests representing the cities across the north of England that they just have not been consulted about these measures. They're finding out about them in the newspapers or on the radio or telly rather than the government ministers consulting with them, and they want to have local powers. What are your feelings there in Manchester?
Julia, I completely agree. You know, I'm here on the ground in Greater Manchester. There is so much anger. This government has talked about levelling up. Well, I'm sorry, when are you going to put measures in place in the whole of the north? At least consult and work with the leaders. The way Andy Burnham, Greater Manchester Mayor, Steve Rotherham, Mayor of City Region, Liverpool, found out was exactly the way we found out on social media when this was leaked by the government to the press. Andy was so passionate last night on Question Time. I mean, they need to be working with us. Right now, for me, for many people, this feels like we sat back in the grey 80s where the north-south divide is wider than it's ever been before.
And indeed, this was such a big issue for the Prime Minister. I mean, obviously, you know, Brexit was the dominating issue at the election in December. But one of the other big issues was about, you know, what they wanted to do in terms of levelling up. And we know the stats in terms of, you know, economic life chances, income, education, health outcomes across the board. We know that these stats are not as good for the north as they are for the south. It was all about levelling up. And every guest we've had today from great northern cities has said, you know, this is actually going to lead to levelling down. How much do you think what the Chancellor is going to announce today, Rishi Sunak, we understand, is going to announce some new version of a furlough scheme? It ends, of course, October the 31st, but something that will be specific for these local areas that are facing local lockdowns, paying workers, we understand. But again, it's another leak. We don't know. 2/3 of their wages. Is that going to be enough, particularly for the people that you're representing and advising as a nighttime economy advisor, who are going to have to say, make a decision maybe today whether or not they're going to order stock for next week, not knowing whether, for instance, they're going to be able to be open at all next week?
Well, no, you're quite right. I agree with all your points. I mean, the devil's going to be in the details. Do I think the Chancellor was always going to announce something today? No, I don't. I think he saw the absolute outcry from the hospitality industry yesterday and the public. Let's not forget that the hospitality industry, the nighttime economy, is the fifth biggest industry in the whole of the UK. In Greater Manchester here alone, we employ north of 420,000 people. Those 420,000 people have woken up today anxious, fearful. They don't know if they can pay their rent next month. They don't know if they can put food on the table. It's simply not good enough. And I'll tell you something else, Julia. I predicted when the 10 p.m. curfew came in, as other operators did as well, we were going to see overcrowded supermarkets, overcrowded public transport, overcrowded takeaways. That's exactly what happened. We all saw it. And I will now predict that this weekend, because of this stupid leaked report, that we're going to see everybody out in the pubs, restaurants, because it now feels like it's the last opportunity to go to them before this lockdown.
I've got to be honest, that's exactly what I'd been doing. And again, most of us were sensible enough to predict that this was what happening. And the evidence that's been given that it's pubs and restaurants and bars that are the problem. There was this, as we were told, cobbled together data presented in a scientific briefing by Chris Whitty and Edward Argyll, the health minister, yesterday to some MPs, showing that 30% of exposures have been in pubs and restaurants, but their own test and trace system says it's 5% of exposures. It seems really obvious to me that, yeah, if someone fills out a questionnaire and says where they've been in the last couple of weeks, the people who will have had a chance of having the virus, well, of course they're the people who've been out and about and have gone to the pub, gone to the restaurant. It doesn't mean that's where they caught it. We know that most people catch the virus from their loved ones in close quarters at home. And so we're basically telling people we're sending them back home to catch the virus, aren't we?
Exactly. So, and I will give you one horrifying stat that I saw this morning, only 20 minutes ago. This new contact trace app that we all downloaded, or most of us downloaded a couple of weeks ago, out of the millions of hits, guess how many hits were associated to a venue in the hospitality? One. That's it. One hit.
Wow. I mean,
it is laughable. We've been calling out for scientific evidence because, you know what? Show us the evidence and we will work with the government. I don't understand why, when you're sat in a restaurant, for example, that's operating at 50%, why they couldn't have spoken to operators like myself and said, right, what do we do to stagger egress for 10 o'clock? Okay, stop serving alcohol, but let people finish off the meals and leave in an orderly fashion. We could have prevented this absolute lockdown that's coming if they'd just worked with the industry. They haven't. Somebody is making knee-jerk decisions within government. And I'll tell you now, it's not an operator because they have not got a clue what they're doing.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
First up, though, let's talk more about what's going on with business and indeed those local lockdowns with Lucy Powell. She's not just Shadow Business Minister. She's also Labour and Cooperative MP for Manchester Central, one of the areas most affected by the rising COVID case numbers. Good morning to you, Lucy.
Good morning.
I mean, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Just first up, if we could talk about this proposal. We understand that the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, is going to announce this new furlough scheme, paying workers two-thirds of their wages if they are basically required by law not to work in a local lockdown. Is that going to do enough to help people?
Well, it's certainly welcome and it's something we've been calling for a while, and it could have been announced sooner. I think it would have saved a lot of anxiety. I mean, whether the two-thirds level is going to be sufficient is something we'll have to see when it's announced. But what we're saying is that alone won't be sufficient to save businesses from going bust and the people that they employ from being made redundant, because you'll know that businesses have many other overheads rather than just the wage costs. They have rent to pay, they have bills to pay. Many, if we're talking about hospitality businesses, will now have to throw away lots of expensive stock, beer and food and so on, if they are to be closed down overnight. And so we're calling on the government to use the £1.3 billion that they've just clawed back from local authorities from the cash grant scheme, redistribute that money as a matter of urgency to the businesses in the areas hardest hit, so that there's a proper cash grant support scheme there to stop thousands of businesses going bust and many tens of thousands of people being made redundant.
Well, you mentioned this clawing back this £1.3 billion. This is emergency grants that the government made available that you're saying local authorities are going to hand back because they've been unspent. Why is any of that money not being spent?
Well, there were quite a lot of tight restrictions put around who could qualify for that money, and that's part of the reason. So some businesses may not have applied for it, but many businesses, especially those that are now going to be affected again by these local lockdowns, didn't qualify. And of course, there are those sectors that are still shut from first time around: the weddings industry, the nightclubs, the events industry and so on. They didn't qualify first time round either. So we say that when you redistribute it, the government also need to give local authorities a great deal more discretion about who can get those cash grants and how much, so that it can be on a needs basis for those businesses that need it most.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? A lot of these schemes that have been there to help a lot of the businesses hit have been loans. Loans are all very well, but you know, at some point they're going to have to be paid back, and we're wondering what they're supposed to be paid back with if people haven't been allowed to trade.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's why it's in the government's interest, not just from that loan perspective, to support these businesses, because if the businesses go bust, then the loans that many of these businesses have already taken won't be repaid. But of course, if these businesses go bust and their employees are made redundant, you know, this is going to cost the country and cost the Treasury a lot more in the long run, because high levels of unemployment cost the Treasury through benefit payments, through loss of tax revenue. And if businesses go bust, it means that our emergence out of this economic crisis will be a lot slower and a lot longer, because people's livelihoods have been lost, and we're just going to see shuttered up restaurants and pubs and bars and shuttered up shops in town centres and city centres across the country.
Well, indeed. And we've seen the latest figures on GDP, a 2.1% rise. Yay, apart from the fact that it was even less than half what the 4.6% analysts had expected. It's a major slowdown after we saw a 6.4% in July, which many had expected was actually far higher than... I think we may have just lost Lucy Powers' line. I'm sorry, I had a little bit of interference on that line, as you may have heard. I think it may just have gone, but we'll do our very best to get her back. But obviously we've seen those figures. I think, Lucy, we've got you back now. That 2.1% rise in GDP, it hides a multitude of really bad news in terms of the service industry, the construction industry. Pretty much that seems to have only come about because of the Eat Out to Help Out scheme in August. But we are really not seeing the bounce back many of us were hoping for.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that, you know, we are going to be living with this now for a lot longer, in the more medium term than we thought. That V-shaped sort of recovery is now a pipe dream, quite frankly. And that's why we need a longer term, a more medium term strategy, not only to deal with the virus and how we're going to live alongside it in the medium term, but how we're going to support the economy through what is now going to be a more long term difficult situation than we'd previously hoped. And it's good to see that there was some growth in August, although it was lower than I think predictions. And the Eat Out to Help Out scheme certainly did help with that. But those gains, unfortunately, especially in parts of the north, as the government like to call us, are going to be lost completely if we don't continue that support of businesses.
Just finally, were you at this meeting with the scientific briefing by Chris Whitty and Edward Argyll, the health minister, where they put together some data about why pubs and restaurants had to close? They have been accused of, cobbling together. Were you at that meeting, and were you convinced by what they had to say?
I was at that meeting, and no, I wasn't convinced by the sort of slide they showed at the end. I mean, we had lots of very compelling evidence before that about the rise in the growth of infection rates in parts of the country, the rise in hospital admissions and modelling to do with that, and the difficult situation that our health service could potentially face. And then we sort of had this slightly dubious slide right at the end that seemed to rule out looking at where transmissions are happening in other sectors, such as in the house, in university and education settings, in health and care and so on. They were ruled out of the equation, and then they just looked at where it was happening in all other sectors and said, well, it's mainly restaurants and bars. And they seemed to use a US study from a few weeks ago to sort of make this point, yeah, not using their own track and trace figures. And it's just not a way to...
Online, on DAB and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.